Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Therapist's Experiment, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together.
Chapter 1: Champagne, Caviar, and Chaos. I used to think survival was just about scraping by. Cheap ramen, late rent, secondhand textbooks. But that was before I realized men will pay thousands just to feel needed. Or better yet, wanted. And if I'm good at anything, it's pretending. My name's Alina. 19. Broke. And drowning in student loans before I'd even finished my sophomore year. My parents stopped answering my calls the second I told them I was switching majors. Philosophy isn't a real degree, my father had said, slamming the phone down like I'd told him I was stripping. Joke's on him. Stripping probably pays better. Anyway, this isn't some sob story. This is how I learned to survive, to thrive, and to take what the world owes me, one sugar daddy at a time. It started with Julian, 49, divorced twice, hedge fund manager with the emotional range of a teaspoon but a black card that could feed a small nation. We met on an app called SpoilMe. His bio read like a soft warning label. Looking for intelligent conversation, luxury travel partner, and discretion. That last word. That's code for don't fuck up my marriage. Yeah. He was still technically married to wife number 3, a Botox Stepford Barbie who lived on the other side of Manhattan. Julian was easy. Dinner at Carbone. Shopping sprees at Bergdorf. I called him daddy once and watched his soul leave his body in ecstasy. It was pathetic and profitable. But I wasn't satisfied. One man wasn't enough. Not for my tuition, my rent, my taste for designer. And definitely not for the chaos I craved. That's when I found Devlin. God, Devlin. Late 30s. Tall British, with that devil-may-care grin and a penchant for bondage that made my stomach twist. He owned a tech startup. One of those vague AI things no one really understands but throws millions at. He liked control. I liked pretending to give it to him. Devlin was rough in bed, but soft in the wallet. And he hated men like Julian. So I did what any smart, emotionally detached, manipulative bitch would do. I played them against each other. You won't believe what Julian tried to buy me today. I'd purr into Devlin's ear while straddling him. A fucking diamond anklet. Like I'm his pet. He'd growl and dig his fingers into my thighs. Tell him to buy you something better. Let the bastard bleed. And he did. So did Julian. I was the prize in their private, unspoken war. And every gift, every secret bank transfer, every heated fuck under penthouse lights, it all made me stronger. But it wasn't just about money. It was about power. Watching them unravel because of me. They thought they had me wrapped around their fingers, when really, I was tightening the noose. Then came the third. Brandon. 27. Rich daddy's boy. Wall Street baby with too much coke and not enough soul. He thought I was an art student. I told him my ex cheated and I needed help with rent. Cue the waterworks. Cue the soft moans over red wine. He lapped it up like a thirsty dog. You're not like the other girls, he whispered once while we were tangled in his $1,000 sheets. You're real. I nearly laughed in his face. But I didn't. I moaned instead. Manipulation tastes better with a little moan. Now, managing 3 men is a fucking circus. I had to color code my lies. Julian got the soft, needy version of me, the doe-eyed little girl with daddy issues. Devlin got the dark, biting, submissive slut. And Brandon? He got the dream girl, the down-on-her-luck sweetie with just a hint of edge. I was a chameleon with no soul left to lose. And I liked it that way. But then one night, in the middle of a thunderstorm that matched my mood, I fucked up. Devlin called me while I was with Julian. I accidentally answered. Where the fuck are you? Devlin snapped. I heard music in the background, maybe a bar, maybe his penthouse. You were supposed to be here 20 minutes ago. Julian narrowed his eyes from across the table. I told you I had class, I whispered, turning my head, cupping the phone like I could shield the lie. I can't just skip lectures. You think I'm fucking stupid? His voice was sharp, like broken glass. You're with someone. The line went dead. I smiled across the candlelight at Julian, heart pounding like a ticking bomb. He reached across the table and held my hand. "Everything all right, darling?" "Yeah," I said sweetly. "Just my professor being a dick." And in that moment, I knew the game was changing. The balance I'd built was cracking. These men weren't stupid. And I wasn't invincible. But I wasn't scared either. Because if they wanted war, I'd give them blood.
Chapter 2. Threads of Deceit. I didn't sleep that night. Not because I was scared. Fear implies hesitation, and I had none of that. What kept me awake was the thrill. The thrill of the lie almost collapsing. And the even bigger thrill of knowing I could still save it, twist it. If there's one thing I've learned from fucking rich men, it's that lies like silk sheets can always be smoothed out with the right touch. Devlin didn't call me back. Not that night, not the next morning. Not even after I sent the usual apology photo, lingerie, mirror, full pout, captioned "Wish I could have come last night." In more ways than one. Silence. He was pissed. But more importantly, he was suspicious. And when a man like Devlin suspects you're playing him, he doesn't just walk away. He investigates. I needed to stay ahead. So I did what I do best. I weaved a new layer of bullshit. I texted him that I'd gotten sick after class. Food poisoning. Probably that damn sushi from Tuesday. Added a throw-up emoji, made it look gross. Real. Human. Weak. Men like him. They can't resist the damsel-in-distress routine. Makes their egos puff up like fucking balloons. Still no reply. I started pacing. Not because I cared, but because if Devlin went digging, he could find out about Julian. And Brandon. And if that happened, my sweet little empire would burn to ash. Then around 3 p.m. my phone buzzed. "Devlin, you're either lying or dying. Prove it." I stared at the screen. Then smiled. 20 minutes later, I was on his penthouse couch. No makeup, hoodie too big, face pale from rubbing off blush and contour. I'd even dunked my head under cold water to give myself that sweaty, clammy look. Devlin opened the door, arms crossed, jaw clenched. "You look like shit." "Thanks," I muttered, brushing past him and collapsing onto the couch. He stood there, watching me like a hawk. "If you're lying to me, Alina," I forced a cough. "Yeah, yeah, you'll punish me or whatever. Can we skip the threats? I feel like I'm gonna puke." He softened. "Just a little. Men are like dogs, snap at them and they bite. Whimper and they come running." He brought me water. Sat next to me. Even stroked my hair, like I was something precious. And that was when I knew, I still had him. But I couldn't get comfortable. Because across town, Julian was texting about some business dinner he wanted me to attend that night. He promised I'd get a new diamond bracelet out of it. I told him I was studying for midterms. Lie. Again. Then Brandon hit me up at 6. "Babe, I miss you. Come over. Got something for you." That something was probably coke and dick. Predictable. I texted back. "Rain check? On my period. Feel gross." Brandon replied with a peach emoji and ugh fine. Easy. Dumb. Compliant. Managing these men was starting to feel less like fun and more like strategy. Like war. And somewhere between Devlin's cold hand on my thigh and Julian's name popping up on my phone again, I realized something. I wasn't just surviving anymore. I was playing God. That night, as I left Devlin's penthouse, a black car was waiting outside. It wasn't his. It wasn't mine. And that's when I saw him. Julian. Standing next to it. Hands in pockets. Face like stone. My blood ran cold. What the fuck? I started stepping back. "Get in," he said. "No." He smiled. It wasn't kind. Devlin lives here. Right? Took me a while, but I figured it out. Shit. "Julian, you don't understand. Get. In." I got in. The leather smelled like money. And danger. The door clicked shut behind me like a fucking prison gate. He sat beside me, not touching me. Not looking at me. "You lied to me," he said finally. "I lied to everyone. I shot back too fast, too sharp. Wrong move." His hand lashed out, grabbing my chin. Not hard, but hard enough. "You think this is a game?" I didn't flinch. "Yes." Silence. He let go. Laughed bitterly. "You really are a cold little bitch." I smiled. "That's why you liked me." The car started to move. The windows were tinted. No one could see us. Julian leaned in, breath hot against my neck. "If I wanted, I could ruin you. You realize that, right? Devlin? Brandon? They'd drop you so fast your head would spin." I turned to him, meeting his eyes. "But you won't." "Why not?" "Because you want me more than you want revenge." He stared at me. His hand slid up my thigh. Possessive. Dangerous. I didn't stop him. Because fear is leverage. Because lust is currency. Because power is addictive. I got home at midnight, my throat raw from screaming, for pleasure and survival. My phone had 17 missed texts. Brandon, you mad at me? Devlin, next time you lie, I'll make you regret it. Julian, don't fuck with me again, sweetheart. And me. I stared at my reflection in the cracked mirror above the sink. Hair messy. Lipstick smeared. Diamond necklace around my throat like a collar. I didn't recognize the girl in the glass anymore. But I loved her. Chapter 3. The Devil You Dance With. You ever been in too deep? Like, you've told so many lies, played so many parts, that you forget which version of yourself is real? That was me, buried under designer silk, fake orgasms, and blood-red lies. After Julian's little stunt, my game shifted. He wasn't just a sugar daddy anymore. He was a threat. A wolf in Armani. And I knew if I didn't tighten my grip fast, someone was gonna bleed. But I wasn't backing down. I'd made it this far, hadn't I? Made them love me, fear me, need me. Now I had to make sure they didn't outsmart me. First, damage control. I met Brandon for brunch. Sweet, harmless Brandon. My golden retriever in human form. He greeted me with that stupid boyish grin, sliding a Tiffany bag across the table like it was an apology for something he didn't even do. I missed you, he said, leaning in. You've been distant. I fake pouted, reaching for his hand. I've been so overwhelmed. School, work, life. You're the only peace I get lately. He melted like butter in a hot pan. God, men are easy. You can talk to me, babe, he said, brushing hair from my face. Whatever's going on, I got you. Liar. If he knew half the shit I was doing, he'd cry into his protein shakes. Still, I let him play the savior. He needed it. I needed it. I even let him take me back to his place. Fucked him on his sofa, moaning like he was the only man I'd ever wanted. Told him I loved him while staring over his shoulder, dead-eyed, thinking about how much this month's rent was. Afterwards, while he showered, I opened his laptop. Passwords? Please. Brandon used his birthday for everything. I wasn't snooping for fun. I was securing leverage. I knew his daddy worked for a bank. Knew Brandon had access to accounts he shouldn't. If this whole thing went sideways, I needed insurance. Evidence. Dirt. Something to keep him quiet. I downloaded a few files. Took screenshots. Emailed them to myself under a burner. Just in case. Because I didn't trust anyone. Especially not Devlin. Later that week, Devlin called me out of nowhere. His voice. Calm. Too calm. The kind of calm that made my spine tighten. Come over. Now. No excuse this time. No sick act. No soft lies. I showed up dressed to kill. Tight black dress. Louboutin heels. Lipstick like blood. He opened the door with a smirk that didn't reach his eyes. Nice of you to show, he said, stepping aside. His penthouse was darker than usual. No music. Just low lighting and silence. He poured two drinks, handed me one, and watched me drink it. You ever lie to me again, he said softly. I'll ruin you. I held his gaze. Then I guess we're both fucked. He slammed his glass down, grabbed my wrist, pulled me into his chest. You think this is a fucking joke? No, I whispered, my breath brushing against his lips. I think this is foreplay. And just like that, his mouth was on mine. Violent. Desperate. Addicted. We didn't make love. We made war. Clothes ripped. Biting. Nails dug into flesh. He wanted to punish me. I let him. Because every thrust was power. Every bruise was a contract. And when it was over, I curled into his chest like I hadn't just slit his trust open and danced in the blood. Who's Julian? He asked suddenly. My heart stopped. I didn't flinch. Didn't breathe. Julian. Your Uber receipts say otherwise. Fuck. He'd been checking my shit. Emails. Rides. Maybe more. I rolled over, trailing my finger along his chest. He's a client. Nothing serious. You lied. You never asked. He laughed, bitter. You really don't give a fuck, do you? Nope. And I meant it. 3 days later, I found a photo slipped under my door. Me. Julian. At the restaurant. On the back, scribbled in black marker. Tell Devlin I said hi. I felt it like a blade under my ribs. Julian was watching me. Stalking me. Testing me. This wasn't a sugar baby arrangement anymore. This was a fucking chess match, and he just moved his queen. So I made a move of my own. I went to Brandon's office. Showed up unannounced, no bra, high heels, trench coat. He let me in without blinking. We fucked on his desk. Loud. Messy. Wild. When he passed out afterwards, I opened his filing cabinet. Found what I was looking for. A flash drive. labeled confidential client holdings. Jackpot. I took it, left him a kiss on the cheek, and walked out like I owned the place. That night, I stared at the drive in my hand, the photo on my bed, the bruises on my thighs from Devlin's grip. And for the first time in a long time, I felt scared. But fear? That shit is fuel. Because if they wanted to come for me, they'd better be ready to burn. Chapter 4, A House of Cards. Fear. That gnawing, teeth-grinding, stomach-clenching sensation that most people try to avoid? I don't run from it. I use it. Let it sharpen me. Make me smarter. Because if I had learned anything by now, it was that the moment you show weakness, you lose. Julian was watching me. Devlin was testing me. Brandon was a ticking time bomb, just waiting for me to light the fuse. And I was standing on the edge of a house of cards, knowing damn well one wrong move could bring it all crashing down. But I wasn't about to fall. I was going to jump, and make sure I landed on my feet. I spent the next 2 days making myself impossible to reach. Julian texted? Ignored. Devlin called? Straight to voicemail. Brandon sent a pathetic, did I do something wrong? Message? Left on read. I needed time to think. To plot. To figure out who my real enemy was in this game. Because I was not going to be the prey. I was the fucking hunter. On the third day, Julian sent me a message I couldn't ignore. Julian, you're making me impatient. Let's not make this ugly. Dinner. Tomorrow. 8 p.m. Don't make me come find you. The audacity. He thought he could control me, that I was just another pet for him to leash and lead around. Cute. I replied with a single word. Fine. If he wanted to meet, I'd meet him. But on my terms. The next evening I arrived at the restaurant, late on purpose, of course. Let men like Julian wait. Let them simmer in their own ego. It made them hungrier. He was sitting in a private booth, sipping his overpriced whiskey like he hadn't threatened me the last time we saw each other. Alina, he said smoothly, standing as I slid into the booth. His eyes flicked over me, tight red dress, bare shoulders, high slit. You look exquisite. I smirked. I know. His smile didn't quite reach his eyes. He poured me a glass of wine, gesturing for me to drink. I didn't. Instead, I tilted my head. So, what's this really about, Julian? You like stalking your little playthings now. He chuckled, shaking his head. I like knowing what's mine. I leaned in, lowering my voice. You don't own me. His expression darkened. Oh, sweetheart. You are mine. And if you keep playing your little games, I'll make sure you regret it. The words should have scared me. Maybe they did, a little. But more than that, they excited me. You think threats work on me? I whispered. Please. Try harder. His fingers tightened around his glass. Good. I was getting to him. You've been busy, he said after a moment. Running around with your other boys. Devlin. Brandon. I raised a brow. Jealous. His jaw twitched. Bullseye. You're reckless, he muttered. And reckless girls get hurt. I took a slow sip of my wine, eyes locked on his. Funny. I was just about to say the same thing to you. For the first time, he hesitated. And that's when I knew Julian wasn't untouchable. He had weaknesses. And I was going to find them. After dinner, I went to Devlin's. He was pissed. You disappeared. His voice was sharp as he yanked me inside. And now you just show up? I pressed my hands against his chest, trailing my nails down his shirt. You missed me. His grip tightened on my wrist. I don't like being ignored, Alina. Neither does Julian, I murmured, watching his face carefully. His expression flickered. A crack. Barely there, but I saw it. And just like that, I knew. They weren't just two rich men. They weren't just rivals. They were enemies. Something deeper. Older. Something I could use. Why do you care so much about him? I whispered, fingers sliding up his neck. Tell me, Devlin. His jaw clenched. Stay away from him. I smiled. Make me. Then his lips were on mine, bruising, possessive. I let him take control, not because he was in charge, but because he thought he was. Because while he fucked me on that expensive glass table, moaning my name like I was his goddamn salvation, I was already thinking about my next move. When I left, my phone buzzed. A message from a blocked number. You're running out of time, sweetheart. My blood turned to ice. Who the fuck was watching me now? I scanned the street, the shadows, the parked cars. Nothing. But I could feel it. Someone was there. Watching. Waiting. I wasn't just playing with fire anymore. I was drowning in gasoline. And someone was about to light the match. Chapter 5, The Matchstick. There's a certain silence that screams louder than any threat. The kind that crawls up your spine and whispers in your ear. You're being hunted. That's the silence I felt after that message. No name. No number. Just a goddamn promise. You're running out of time, sweetheart. The street outside Devlin's building was empty, but my pulse thudded in my ears like warning sirens. Every car window, every alley, every flickering street lamp felt like an eye on me. Watching. Judging. Waiting for me to slip. And for the first time in a long time, I wasn't sure who the fuck was pulling the strings anymore. I didn't go home. I went to a shitty motel off the freeway, paid cash, and locked the door behind me like I was sealing myself into a vault. Sat on the edge of a stained mattress in a $4,000 dress, staring at my cracked phone screen like it held the answers. Who knew? Who sent the message? Julian? Devlin? Brandon? Or someone else? See, here's the problem when you lie to everyone. Eventually, one of them tells the truth. I couldn't sit still. I needed leverage. Real leverage. So I pulled out Brandon's flash drive, the one I stole from his office like a dirty little secret, and opened it on my laptop. It was worse than I thought. Offshore accounts. Fraudulent wire transfers. Private communications with his father about cleaning the books before an SEC audit. This wasn't just incriminating. This was nuclear. I could destroy them with this. Burn their world down with a click. And that meant, someone knew I had it. Someone was getting nervous. The next day, I got an unexpected call. Devlin. I answered on speaker, already recording. Just in case. I need to see you, he said. Now's not a good time. It wasn't a request, Alina. The coldness in his voice? It didn't scare me. It turned me on. Fine. Where? Meet me at the lake house. Tonight. Come alone. Lake house. That wasn't our usual spot. Too quiet. Too isolated. Too perfect for something ugly. I agreed, but I wasn't showing up empty-handed. I called Brandon. Sweet, soft, stupid Brandon. Hey, babe, I said, fake crying. I think someone's following me. I'm so scared. What? Where are you? I'll come. No. I cut him off. Can you stay on the phone with me tonight? Just until I get back home. Of course he agreed. He'd do anything to feel needed. I slipped the flash drive into my bra, put a knife in my purse, and kissed my reflection in the mirror like I was saying goodbye to the girl I used to be. The lake house was about an hour outside the city. No lights. No noise. No backup. Just the moon. The trees. And Devlin, standing on the porch like a man with nothing left to lose. I stepped out of the car, heels crunching gravel, heart pounding like a war drum. Took you long enough, he said. You always were dramatic, I replied. We went inside. He poured drinks. Locked the door. My hand stayed on my purse. He downed his whiskey. I know what you've been doing. I blinked. You're gonna have to be more specific. He slammed a photo on the table. Me. At Brandon's office. Holding the flash drive. You think I don't have eyes everywhere? He hissed. I didn't flinch. Didn't breathe. Just smiled. Don't be mad, Dev. You taught me everything I know. That's when he pulled a gun. Not aimed at me. Not yet. But it was there cold black and way too fucking real. I could end this right now, he said quietly. Clean. Quick. And what? I said, stepping closer. You kill me and risk Julian getting curious? Or Brandon finding that flash drive when I don't text back? His jaw clenched. I had him. I pressed a hand against his chest. Felt his heart pounding like mine. You're not a killer, I whispered. You're just a boy who fell in love with a girl who knows how to lie better than you. The gun dropped to his side. He kissed me. It was rough. Final. Desperate. And while he lost himself in me again, I reached into his jacket and snagged the burner phone from his pocket. Insurance. Just in case. After he passed out, I left. Took the phone, the gun, and the truth with me. Because now I knew everything. Devlin was being watched too. Julian and him? They weren't just rivals. They were partners. Business. Dirty money. Hidden enemies. And I was the loose thread unraveling their empire. But guess what? I didn't come this far to die. I came to win. And if the walls were closing in, then I'd burn the whole fucking house down. Chapter 6, Blood in the Water. I didn't sleep. Not even a blink. I sat on the floor of my bathroom, back against the wall, knees pulled to my chest, Devlin's burner phone clutched like a fucking lifeline. The only thing louder than the silence in that motel room was the chaos spinning in my mind. Julian. Devlin. Brandon. Three men with power, secrets, and blood on their hands. And me. I was the match. Lit. Flickering. About to blow their entire world sky high. I powered on the burner. Messages. Hundreds. Hidden behind encrypted folders. one after another, like confessions waiting to be unearthed. I scrolled through codes, payments, blackmail, wire transfers. And then a name. Brandon Lennox. My stomach twisted. A photo, blurry but clear enough. Brandon laughing, arm around some bald man in a designer suit. The same guy I saw in one of the financial documents on the flash drive. Devlin's associate. No, not associate. Cleaner. That wasn't some banker Brandon's daddy worked with. That was a fucking enforcer. Someone who made loose ends disappear. And the name on the wire transfer they sent last week? Alina West. $100,000. Labeled, final payment. My name. On a payout. To disappear. I dropped the phone. This wasn't just sugar games and blackmail anymore. They had put a price on my head. I stood up, shaking. Looked at myself in the mirror. No more lipstick. No more designer dresses. No more roles to play. Just me. Raw. Exposed. Ready for war. If they wanted me gone, then I was going to make sure they knew what the fuck I was made of before I left. I started with Brandon. He was easy. Still believed I was his sweet little secret. Still sent me good morning, babe, texts like he wasn't plotting my murder on the side. I replied, let's meet. One last night before midterms eat me alive. I need you. He showed up with a gift bag from Cartier and cocaine under his fingernails. Damn, you look hot, he grinned, pulling me in. I missed this. I kissed him hard. Deep. Let him think I was his again. And then I fucked him. The kind of fuck that makes a man talk. Afterwards, while his chest rose and fell beside me in half-sleep, I whispered into his ear. So, when were you going to tell me you paid someone to make me disappear? He jolted. Eyes flew open. Sweat instantly pooling on his forehead. What the fuck are you talking about? Devlin's phone, Brandon. Your name. Your daddy's name. That shady little payoff labeled with mine. I didn't, he stammered. It wasn't, Devlin said, fuck. I sat up, pulled the covers off him, stared at his pale, shaking form. You tried to get rid of me. You all did. And you fucked up. Alina, please, I didn't mean it. It wasn't like that. I was scared, Julian said, if I didn't help. There it was. The crack. Julian. I repeated, tilting my head. Brandon looked like a broken little boy now. The rich Wall Street shark reduced to a whimpering coward. Pathetic. He's behind it, Brandon whispered. He's pulling all the strings. Devlin's scared of him. We all are. I stood up and walked to the bathroom, locking the door behind me. Pulled out my real phone. Opened the voice recorder. Saved the entire conversation. Evidence. Checkmate. Julian thought he could control the game. Devlin thought he could scare me straight. Brandon thought he could hide behind Daddy's name. They forgot one thing. I learned fast. I leaked one of the financial documents from Brandon's flash drive anonymously. Sent it to a journalist. Titled the email. Fraud inside Lennox Financial, evidence enclosed. Then I sent Devlin the burner phone's data. No message. No warning. Let the bastard sweat. And Julian? I saved him for last. That night, I walked into his penthouse without knocking. He looked surprised, but impressed. Alina. No games tonight, I said. He poured whiskey. Finally tired of playing the girl next door? I stepped closer. I came to make you a deal. He raised a brow. Go on. I have the receipts. The conversations. The flash drive. The burner. All of it. His face darkened. You came here to blackmail me? No, I said, standing inches from him. I came here to warn you. I walk away clean, you never hear from me again, and no one else has to die. He studied me. Like a snake sizing up a predator. Or, he said finally. Or I bury you. All of you. Silence. Then he laughed. Damn. I underestimated you. I smiled. Everyone does. He let me walk out that night. No threats. No bullets. No screams. But the war wasn't over. No. Because in the morning, the news broke. Lennox Financial investigated for fraud. Brandon's face on every major screen. Devlin's name linked in anonymous leaks. And Julian? Julian disappeared. Just like that. No phone calls. No sightings. Just gone. And suddenly, the predator I feared the most became a ghost in my rearview mirror. But me? I didn't disappear. I rose. Out of the blood, the lies, the bodies of men who thought they could control me. Chapter 7, Queen of Ashes. The thing about walking away from a fire is that sometimes the smell of smoke clings to your skin long after the flames are gone. It's been 2 weeks. 2 weeks since I burned them, Brandon, Devlin, Julian. 2 weeks since I sent their secrets to every inbox that mattered. 2 weeks since the headlines screamed financial crime ring exposed. and their perfect little empires came crumbling down. And me, I vanished. Not the scared, hunted kind of disappearing. I chose to vanish. I became the ghost they'd never catch. The whisper in every scandal. The fucking legend in every dark boardroom conversation about trust, betrayal, and the cost of underestimating the wrong bitch. I traded the city skyline for a condo near the coast, somewhere warm, anonymous, and far from the blood-slick penthouses I used to haunt. No more fake names. No more sugar daddies. No more secrets hanging from diamond chains. Just me. And peace. For now. But peace is never permanent. Not for people like me. It was a Tuesday when the first crack in my new world showed up. I was at the cafe on 9th, laptop open, sunglasses on, pretending to read. That's when the man walked in. Suit. No tie. Tattoo on his hand, small, precise, hidden under a Rolex. He ordered coffee. Didn't look at me. But when he passed my table, he dropped a note. No name. Just a sentence written in flawless penmanship. You were never just a girl in the game. You were the board. My blood went cold. No signature. No contact. Just a reminder. Someone was still watching. Later that night, I found a folder slid under my door. Inside, photos. Dozens. Julian. Devlin. Brandon. All of them, before the storm. Laughing. Drinking. Planning. And in the center of it all. Me. Captured from angles I didn't even know existed. Me in Devlin's bed. Me stealing the flash drive. Me slipping out of Brandon's office at 3 a.m. They had been documenting me the whole time. And on the last page, a picture of a woman. Blonde. Sharp jawline. Eyes like razors. Labeled. S. Cartwright Handler. Handler? What the actual fuck? Turns out, Julian's operation was deeper than sugar baby games and bank fraud. It was part of something bigger. A network. A web of manipulation that stretched across businesses, politics, offshore shells. And I'd been a pawn they never expected to become a queen. I wasn't the only girl. But I was the only one who fought back. And now they wanted me. Not dead. Recruited. The burner phone I took from Devlin buzzed to life again, after weeks of silence. Message received. You're ready now. Welcome to the next level. No sender. I stared at the screen for a long time. Because here's the truth. I didn't want a quiet life. I didn't want a white picket fence and boring man who texts WID at 10 p.m. I wanted power. I wanted chaos. I wanted the game. And now, I had the keys to something darker. Something much bigger than Julian's petty empire. I wasn't running anymore. I was about to rise. I packed a single bag, burned the old IDs, wiped my drives. And before I left, I wrote one sentence on the mirror with red lipstick. She came, she fucked, she conquered. Then I walked out. No tears. No guilt. Just the sound of my heels against tile, echoing like gunshots down the hall. Where I'm going, I'll have to become something colder. Sharper. Deadlier. But I was born for this. No more lies. No more men pulling strings. From this moment forward, I pull the fucking strings. The end.